And it gives me tremendous pleasure to invite Gil Hoffman, who is the Executive Director of Honest Reporting, to join us this afternoon. Very interesting stories about fake news and how certain images are being used in the media. Hello, Gil. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Kathy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for joining me. Gil, I'm sure that you've seen, and this is the irony, is that there are two separate children who have, you know, these terrible images looking very emaciated. Can you just give us the background to the stories?
Well, there's a campaign going on right now by Hamas to besmirch Israel and make it look like Israel is out to kill and starve children in Gaza.
Yeah.
And it's been very successful. The New York Times put a picture on the cover of their paper, a pro-Israel paper in England and media outlets all around the world. And then it turned out that this boy had a genetic illness unrelated to the war. We at Honest Reporting had questioned, if they're saying he's starving, why are there pictures of his brother who looks normal,
yes,
that are cut out of the picture? And so this is all intended to impact the negotiations and strengthen Hamas in their ability to not give in, and which will really result in 10 people who are really being, 20 people are really being starved in Gaza, which are hostages to stay there.
How is it that the media can be so duplicitous?
Look, the media thinks they're doing the right thing. You know, these pictures, as a human being, you can't not be moved by them.
True.
And there has been talk of Israel starving Gaza since October 7th. And so it was very easy to them to just embellish more than in the past. Let's not forget that the leading candidate for mayor of New York already on the 8th of October put out social media accusing Israel of starving Gaza. So the world is buying it. And also, one last thing is the United Nations, which is very much the partner of Hamas in Gaza, has a lot more credibility around the world than it does here in Israel.
Yeah. What I find interesting is that there are actually two Arab children who this is happening to and who are being used as these literal poster children. The one, his name is Muhammad al-Matouk, and the other one is called, let me just have a look here, Osama, yeah. And he's in Italy. He's not even in,
right,
Gaza.
He's in Italy receiving treatment. Israel facilitated him going out for the treatment, and yet he's become on the face and the media outlets around the world. And because of that, Israel has to take all these measures. They're airlifting food. They've paved roads to get the food there. They've got 10-hour breaks in the fighting. They've brought in journalists. They've brought in media influencers, all kinds of things that they weren't doing before.
Can you imagine if after the Second World War, when the Nazis marched into Russia and they lost the war, and imagine if the Allies had to then feed them, provide human rights? I mean, it's actually beggars belief. What is going on?
Well, if you're going to be bringing that analogy, what I wrote in the Jerusalem Post this weekend was, imagine if there had been social media at the time of World War II, perhaps the media would be influenced, feel bad for those poor Germans and Japanese, and the narrative that Allies are good and Nazis are bad would have been challenged. Maybe the world media would be reporting that the Jews deserved it.
Yes, yes. And I actually saw a story on one of the diaspora stations, or news, Jewish news, and it was this podcast. And this podcast, which is a health and fitness podcast, they were talking about how Hitler was really a good guy and just trying to do the right thing, which completely contradicts history. And I just think that the further we get away from it, it's almost like people are getting dumber and they're just making things up as they go along to fit a narrative. And it's quite a scary and very unnerving time. How do we move forward with that, Gil?
Say the last thing again.
How do we move forward with that, knowing that people will...
How do we move forward with
that? I don't mind people having different opinions, but I do mind when they are willing and happy to spread a false narrative and actually get quite belligerent about it and get very, very passionate about it. But it's a false narrative, and people who are previously respected.
So they mean well, and we can counteract it. Each and every person listening to this show can counteract it. You can go to Instagram, see the videos that Honest Reporting has put out lately and the carousels over there. Share them. Share the truth. That will go a long way, because the military part of the war is about to end. You know, the battlefields in Syria, Lebanon, Iran are pretty much done. And Gaza is still left, and the Houthis will end when Gaza ends. And when the military battlefield is entirely done, the media battlefield, which includes the social media, will remain. And there's going to be a battle for the image of Israel from this war, looking back. Did Israel become an international pariah, like apartheid South Africa? Or did Israel save the world from a maniacal Islamist regime getting nuclear weapons and all of its proxies? And we need to win that narrative war.
How do we do that? I mean, just with videos and knowing the facts. I mean, how do we really do that, Gil? Because, I mean, there's us. We're a tiny, small, little community. We're 0.01% of the world's population. We've never controlled the narrative. How do we win this one?
Little by little is the answer to your question. We Jews don't fear an uphill battle, and obviously we're a small minority, always have been, but the very notion of being a Hebrew, as Abraham was called, means to be contrarian. It means to go against the majority and speak your truth. And that's what each and every one of you can do, though. That when I speak my truth living in Israel, I don't pay consequences so much. The people living in South Africa, I realize it's much harder for you, and I salute you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, so what are the other big stories that you're working on at the moment at Honest Reporting? Anything interesting that you're seeing in the media?
Yes, we're reporting the truth about that picture, obviously.
Yep.
Reporting the truth about what's happening in the negotiations.
Yes.
There was this frightening video that went around that Canary Mission found of these college students in America talking about the Holocaust and about how the Jews must have deserved it, and reporting about that. Mm. And the background behind that. Every day there are new challenges that we're dealing with, and our regular work of correcting things that are wrong in the media every single day.
Are you finding that media outlets are still willing to do the corrections, or has that changed at all?
Immediately. There are media outlets who will see that something just went online. We have AI that alerts us when a new story about Israel goes online. They call the Israeli hostages detainees, or they call the Palestinian terrorists released in prisoner exchanges hostages. And we can call the media outlet, and it'll be changed within 10 minutes of when it went online. You know, people used to have to write letters to the editor. It would take 2 weeks to get there, be printed with a correction or a letter with no context. Here, things are on the internet. You can get them fixed within 10 minutes of when they went on the internet.
What's with the language use? Why doesn't the media use rape when there's rape?
Why doesn't the media what from Israel?
No, why doesn't the media use rape when they should use rape? You know, if there's sometimes we'll see in a news story that an underage woman, right? An underage woman is a child. Isn't an underage woman a child?
Look, the battle over terminology has been throughout this war.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that when the Prime Minister of England came to Israel in the immediate aftermath of October 7th and met with President Herzog, and he said, "How can I help?" And he's expecting us to ask for weapons. And President Herzog said, "Get the BBC to call Hamas terrorists."
Yeah, it really is. It's so interesting, you know. And even the hashtag, and this is something that I questioned from the beginning, and I haven't had an answer yet. You know, bring them home. The phrase "bring them home" puts the responsibility on the IDF to get them and bring them home. It doesn't put the responsibility on Hamas to give them back. And I've wondered about that. Who decides that?
That's why there was an effort to change the hashtag to "let them go."
Yeah.
A rival organization that had different kinds of pins and different colors, a whole different campaign. The Israeli government basically adopted that against the hostage forum. That's internal Israeli infighting.
Okay.
But you're right. It's Hamas's fault. The Hamas can release them tomorrow, but they don't care about our people, and they certainly don't care about their own.
Yeah. Anyhow, Gil, I love listening to you. I love talking to you, and I love what you do, and thank you for doing what you do. I really appreciate
it. My pleasure.
And thank you so much for the chat this afternoon. Take care. That is Gil Hoffman. He's Executive Director of Honest Reporting.